Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew chapter 14, beginning at the 22nd verse. Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was alone, but by this time the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning he came walking towards them on the lake. But when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost!" And they cried out in fear, but immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened and began to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." When they had crossed over, they came to the land at Gennesaret. After the people of that place recognized him, they sent word throughout the region and brought all who were sick to him and begged him that they might touch even the fringe of his cloak. And all who touched it were healed. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Let's pray. May the words that I speak and the reflection of our hearts and minds give us courage to step out on the water in faith, to love and to serve. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this passage follows straight on from where we finished last week. Jesus has just shared bread and fish with the crowd. And it says that immediately, like straight after that picnic, he made the disciples get into a boat and go on ahead to the other side, while Jesus himself went to pray. "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid," says Jesus to the disciples in the midst of wild weather during the last watch of the night. Well, thank you, Jesus. We appreciate your words. However, do you understand, Jesus, just how afraid and adrift I feel right now? Facing these harassing waves and bearing the brunt of blustery, wild wind gusts when I haven't slept all night. Does anyone feel like that this morning? Wild weather, turbulent storms are not an aberration of the natural world at all. They are a normal part of the weather cycle. Storms are a part of the created order of things. Storms actually bring life. They bring water, they clean the air, they cool the earth. Electrical storms help maintain the electrical balance of the earth. And I read on good authority that lightning even improves soil quality. We didn't factor that in a few weeks ago when we asked God to help us be good soil. that can grow abundant crops and bear much fruit for the kingdom of heaven. Storms can be an immense source of awe and wonder for us and lead us to worship the magnificence of our Creator. At the same time, the reality is that they can also bring catastrophic destruction, destruction of food crops and livestock, and homes and livelihoods, and even life. Where is God in the midst of the storm? Where is God? This is perhaps one of the oldest questions asked by people throughout every generation of human history. Along with another question, why? Why the storm? Is God not strong enough or willing enough to stop the storm, to divert the storm, or to even prevent the storm in the first place? What kind of God allows destructive storms to happen? What kind of God allows innocent people to suffer because of storms? And why me, or my family, or friends, or innocent children, or other vulnerable people? Where is God? Who is God? And who am I in the midst of the storm, even when God is present? When I think of catastrophic storms, for some reason I was drawn to thinking about Cyclone Tracy. Well, I remember waking to the news of the cyclone in 1974 as a young girl, I need to add. I didn't know anyone in Darwin or anyone who knew someone. I just remember thinking, as a very young person, how awful to wake up on Christmas morning and to have lost everything and be surrounded by such devastation. Some of you here today, some of you online, may have personal memories of Cyclone Tracy or of other storms where people you loved have experienced devastation. And perhaps you carry the legacy of that storm in some way, mentally, emotionally, or physically. Storms come in many shapes and sizes. Who is God? Where is God? And who am I in the midst of the storm, even when God is present? If you're thinking, isn't there another story about a storm where Jesus calms the storm? Well, there is in Matthew chapter 8. And we're going to have a look at it because it certainly links with today's reading. In Matthew chapter 8, we read, "When Jesus got into the boat, his disciples followed him. A windstorm suddenly arose on the sea, so great that the boat was being swamped by the waves. But Jesus was asleep. And they went and woke him up, saying, 'Lord, save us, we are perishing.' And he said to them, 'Why are you afraid, you of little faith?' Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a dead calm. And they were amazed, saying, 'What sort of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him?'" You might have noticed that when Helen was reading the reading this morning, that one word appeared on the screen and Helen said another word. There was sea and there was lake, because those two words are used interchangeably, the sea or the lake. The Sea of Galilee we're talking about. But then when Jesus invites Peter, well, Jesus walks out, it says, on the water, and invites Peter to walk on the water, not using the language of lake or sea, but the language of water, as in the reading I just read. And while today's reading asks the same questions as in chapter 8, who is this? Today's reading doesn't leave us hanging. We are given an answer to the question, what sort of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? The disciples in today's reading declare, truly you are the Son of God. Well, how do the disciples recognize Jesus? They recognize Jesus because Jesus does and speaks what God does. As God spoke in the Hebrew scriptures, so does Jesus. God said to Moses, I am. I am who I am. And many times, speaking through the prophets and the poets, the Hebrew scriptures say, I am the Lord your God. Do not be afraid. If you'd like to go to an example of that, go to Isaiah 43 when you get home and read that chapter. It is laden with this kind of language. I am the Lord your God. Do not be afraid. Yesterday at our women's retreat, we reflected on the words from Psalm 23. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow and of death, I am not afraid, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they guide me, they give me strength and comfort. In naming our fears and giving them to God to hold safely, we find that we are held safely. We are known and loved by God. That's who we are. Because we are known and loved by God, we find courage to face our fears and to find a way through the valley, across the stormy waves. Jesus says to the disciples and to us, it is I, do not be afraid. Jesus spoke as God spoke. Likewise, Jesus does as God does. Psalm 107 gives us a graphic description of God calming the storm. Some went down to the sea in ships, doing business on the mighty waters. They saw the deeds of the Lord, his wondrous works in the deep. For he commanded and raised the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea. They mounted up to the heaven. They went down to the depths. Their courage melted away in their calamity. They reeled and staggered like drunkards and were at their wits' end. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out from their distress. He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad because they had quiet, and he brought them to their desired haven. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to humankind. Let them extol him in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. Jesus does as God does. There's a similar picture painted in the first chapter of Jonah. Jonah hops on a ship. He's headed for Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord, except he discovered he couldn't actually get away from the presence of the Lord. The Lord hurls a great wind on the sea and a mighty storm, and the sailors are afraid. But where is Jonah? Who remembers? Where is Jonah? He's asleep. He's asleep in the hold of the ship. The captain comes to Jonah. Wake up! Call on your God to save us. And then by casting lots, the sailors decide, it's a great way to make a decision, the sailors decide that this calamity has fallen on the ship because of Jonah, who tells them, I am a Hebrew, I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. And they ask, well, what can we do so that the sea quietens down for us? They throw Jonah into the sea and the storm subsides. Then the men on the ship feared the Lord even more, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. Even in the first chapter, or in the ninth chapter of the ancient book of Job, God alone stretched out the heavens and trampled the waves of the sea. These stories all reveal who God is. The story, the passage we heard read today, reveals Jesus' identity as God. Well then, who are we, even when we know that God is with us? We are, like the disciples, people of little faith. We haven't yet grown into people who trust God as deeply and faithfully as we might. And that is a lifelong calling. We will never arrive when we are completely able to trust God 100% in all things. We learn day by day to grow into our journey of trust and faith. And what is the purpose of that journey? The purpose of that calling is so that we might participate in God's mission in the world. To reach out to the lost, to the least, to the lonely. To reach out to those who are experiencing the storms of life and are afraid, and to be the presence of Jesus for them. Just as Jesus reveals who God is, our calling as followers of Jesus is to reveal who Jesus is to others, especially in the storms of life. I wonder, who do you know who is passing through a storm right now? Perhaps it is you, or a friend, or a family member, a neighbor, or a colleague. And how might you bring the presence of Jesus to bear in that situation? This essentially is the work of Anglicare. As the service arm of the Anglican Church in southern Queensland, Anglicare participates in God's mission in the world, bringing the presence of Christ to people who find themselves in some kind of storm, offering love, care, justice and compassion. Through love and care and justice and compassion, God becomes possible for people who may have lost hope, lost dignity, lost agency, lost their strength. Anglicare's story began more than 150 years ago when five women founded the Female and Infants Refuge in Ann Street in Brisbane. So Anglicare was birthed very close to home for us. And from these very humble beginnings, Anglicare's commitment to the most vulnerable in our community now extends to 1 in 30 Queenslanders. It's a lot of people. If you haven't read Stephen Harrison's blog from this week, I'd encourage you to do so. Stephen is one of our parishioners and he's also the new director of mission for Anglicare. As director, Stephen writes in the blog about Anglicare's residential aged care, in-home care, mental health support, youth programs, care for those escaping domestic violence and homelessness, foster care and family services, and how through these, Anglicare's advocacy for the most vulnerable in our community is put into practice. Where Christ's love for the world and Christ's presence in the world is reflected. And as Stuart said, if you see any of the Anglicare workers either here or in some other place that you visit during the week, say hi to them and thank them for the great work that they're doing. At the recent Anglican Schools Conference in Canberra, I loved seeing some student-devised videos about how Anglican schools around the country are partnering with Anglicare in their local communities in many and various ways. Students are offered the opportunity to participate in service learning through engagement with the mission of Anglicare in their local community. We too have an opportunity to be the presence of Christ to someone who may feel alone and afraid. In the past, our church community has participated in providing care packs for men and women, as well as backpacks for children going into foster care. And again, we have that opportunity out on the table near the door. You'll find lists for both those packs. Please feel free to take one and fill it, or perhaps get together with your family or a group of friends and create a care pack or a backpack and bring it back, and we can make sure that they go to the people that need it. If you find yourself a bit time poor or you'd prefer to give a donation, you can make that donation at the coffee cart in Lakeview this morning, and we'll use that money to buy the makings of the packs and get them filled. Jesus says, in the midst of wild weather, at the end of the night, when the disciples have been working hard without sleep, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." I'd like to close with a short story, but it's not my story, it's Charisse's story. You'll find it in Anglicare's annual report. "I became homeless after a family breakdown. I was forced out of my father's house and my mother was incarcerated. I was working two jobs, but it still wasn't enough to afford rent. I ended up homeless and needing support. It was daunting, I was scared and unsure. A youth worker at school eventually set me up with Anglicare's homelessness services for emergency accommodation and support. I was finally safe. I had a roof over my head, and that's all that I needed. I was going day by day, and the staff really supported my decisions. I now live in a small two-bedroom unit. I'm independent and love living by myself. I'm working as a surgical nurse in my graduate year at a major hospital, and I'm loving it. I'm very content. I didn't let being homeless define me. It was the simple things with my experience with Anglicare. If I was feeling sad or angry or vulnerable, I could go to them and just sit there. We didn't even have to talk. These things meant more to me than anything. I didn't feel like a statistic. I felt like a person. I wouldn't be where I am without Anglicare, without their support and guidance, and I wouldn't have had the opportunity to study, to buy a car, to have my own unit. All of the things I wanted to do but couldn't without their support. I'm passionate about homelessness because I've experienced it myself and I know what it feels like. A bed, accommodation and a support network can really help you turn your life around." Thank you, Charisse, for sharing your story. Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, would you like to stand as we continue to sing?